Welcome to Ed Show number 101. We missed you last week, man.
I know, yeah. I've been all over Europe, Slovenia, Croatia, Greece.
No surprise, you're a traveling man.
I'm not complaining though, it's okay.
You're a traveling man. All right, well, let's get into the news today. We have a couple Azure announcements, and at the end, just some fun consumer announcements that I think you as IT consumers should be aware of. So what's up first, man?
Well, first thing, the biggest release that we've done around Azure is introducing new service tiers. So in the past, we kind of had not that clear methodology about how you have these different service tiers. So we try to make it really simple, break it down, and provide basic, standard, and premium. And so across these three tiers, you have different performance levels, you have different types of backup and business continuity, and different options for geo-replication. So a lot of people have said, you know, wouldn't it be great if I can back up my SQL database any point in time in the last month? We can now provide that where you can literally see a list, pick when you want to go restore that SQL database to, pick it from a replica, a different location. So really adding a lot of performance, a lot of resiliency, and just a bit more simplicity to our licensing model here.
Yeah, that's cool. And it's great for people who want that those additional customization options for with SQL with their business, right?
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay, so we also have another announcement around Azure privacy. This is something within Microsoft Azure that we always just keep focusing on. We have a huge team of folks dedicated to security, privacy, continuing on with that. In general, I would say make sure you go to the Microsoft Azure Trust Center to get kind of the latest and greatest on what are our certifications, what are some of the things that we're working on. In this particular case, we have some new announcements around the EU data privacy laws. So you can check out this post to see what some of those are specifics are for the regulations that might matter to you in the EU.
That's right. Well, next thing we wanted to announce was another free ebook provided by Microsoft Press. So this is something that you can download online. And with this one, we're looking at different cloud models. So really trying to take a look at this new concept of the cloud operating system, which is where we're really trying to define this convergence of Windows Server plus Windows Azure, Microsoft Azure, plus System Center to manage it. So David Zimbecki and Mitch Tulloch, they kind of go through the details of first looking at a traditional private cloud, looking at the Windows Azure public cloud, looking at third-party hosted clouds, and then seeing how we can connect and tie them all together to really provide a data center without boundaries.
There you go. All right, up next, we have some new things around Office 365. With Office 365, one of the big announcements in this list is the fact that now with OneDrive for Business, we're increasing the capacity per user from 25 gigabytes up to 1 terabyte.
Wow, 40 times the capacity. That's quite a jump.
A pretty huge jump there. I mean, I know myself, a 1 terabyte of data. I think if I pulled together all of my files, aside from probably all my VHDs, I'd probably be solid to keep everything in the cloud.
Now
this is
for business as well, so no music files, right? We're not looking at storing your MP3s.
Personal
on this
data.
One.
That's a deal where you probably don't want to do that. But we also announced within this a personal plan for Office 365. So, you know, obviously we have the iPad client for Office, and you know, one of the things is people might want just a simple subscription for Office 365 to be able to use some of those advanced capabilities. So we now have, I believe it's $7 a month. Obviously that's going to probably depend based on your local region. An Office 365 personal plan that enables you to kind of light up all those advanced features.
Yeah, and great sharing, document collaboration, all those other good things as well.
Right. So speaking of Office on the iPad.
So as you know, we recently released Office for iPad, and we've just released the first major update for that. And so with this update, it's now going to give you the ability to go and print your Word docs, your PowerPoint presentations, and your Excel spreadsheets. And there's also some other smaller features in there, such as the Smart Snap UI within PowerPoint that helps you kind of align different images, things like that. So if you have Office for iPad, definitely go get this update. It's going to be nice, give you some more features.
Yeah. And I think this is really a good testament to us as a company of how we are really moving forward into that devices and services company, really where Office as a service, right? I mean, Office 365 being the delivery mechanism, you can see, right, with Office 365 and the Office for iPad client, right, where we've already pushed out some significant updates within the first month of launching the app. And the same thing really goes right for our Microsoft client. We're going to continue, for those of you who have that subscription service, we're going to continue to update Office on a regular basis to give you those features. For those of you who don't know, also, if you have SkyDrive, the former SkyDrive, which is now OneDrive,
good catch.
You also can edit and create Office documents inside the web browser entirely, which is kind of handy. And we also have, right, a thing with Skype, right?
Yeah, so, we're talking about these different platforms Microsoft expanded to now Mac, Xbox One, and Windows. What's the new Skype support for these?
Yeah, so, I mean, Skype, right, if you have the, I mean, you could still buy Office in a traditional boxed format, but if you do buy the Office subscription service, you do get Skype, right, and some minutes for calling for Skype. But it used to be that the group calling was a premium only feature.
$10 a month.
$10 a month. Well, now we've opened up the group calling on Skype to everybody. So it's really great for those folks out there who want to, you know, call a bunch of different people and collaborate on Skype. I know for me, for people who aren't on Link already, I just use Skype even for business and personal. It's really kind of handy. So we gave you a couple consumer-based announcements and the IT news. Now we're going to snap to within the DevOps realm, right?
What's our topic of the day?
The topic of the day is really talking about availability and performance monitoring and how that relates to the new product that we have in preview called Application Insights. So stay tuned. Welcome to the continuation of the Ed Show, and today I'm joined by Vlad. It's been, I think, since MMS, where I talked to you a while back,
and
you've got a new gig a little bit inside of Microsoft.
That's right.
So what are you focusing on these days?
Well, right now I'm focused still as a program manager, but now on the Application Insights team, helping make sure application developers can make sure their applications are performing, are available, and are succeeding.
Great, yeah, and then of course we're talking about DevOps, and part of the ops side of DevOps is going to be naturally having basic availability and monitoring for your applications that are out there today.
That's right.
And so I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, what are some of the ways we could, you know, get started with App Insights.
Well, if you think about getting started with Application Insights from the sort of non-invasive side, or the thing that you can start with without having to change your app, without having to touch your app, is essentially you can build some availability rules, HTTP single URL test or multi-step web test that we'll show today. You could install an agent that gives you a little bit of basic performance monitoring, has a bytecode instrumenter that attaches to the profiler to understand if your application has exceptions or performance events.
Which would be the Microsoft Monitoring Agent or APM Application Performance Monitoring. Yep.
Correct. Or actually, if you're changing your app, you could add code, add SDKs, add a few different NuGet packages. We have a Visual Studio package that makes it really easy to install and create for an existing add for an existing project or create a new one. So you can really track all the things that you may want to track when users go through different funnels, when users click certain buttons, how many cows you've sold, all those sort of scenarios.
Okay. So that's a lot to cover. And today, I would really like to, I think, focus on just that initial first tier, which I think is really common for a lot of operations folks, is that basic availability, right? You create a new Visual Studio Online account, you have App Insights there. What can you do to just right away get going with detection? So could you show us what that looks like, maybe?
Yes, okay, absolutely. Cool. Now, in this case, I have a dashboard here of a Fabricam application that I've already configured the agent, I've already configured some availability rules, I've done some of the more than what we're going to show today, but this is the sort of default dashboard you would get to show you your alerts, your configuration changes, different exception events, and different metrics. Now, to create a new app, as you mentioned, if I have a Visual Studio Online account, a new app will automatically be prompted to create a new app and availability test on your first login to Application Insights from the Visual Studio account homepage. In this case, I already have a few apps, so I'm just going to choose sort of my name an app here. I'll call it my demo application. I click Add. This app now gets added to the list. And I'm going to drill into the availability grid here, and I'm prompted with a very easy description of what availability is, why I would set it up, and what I will get if I do set it up correctly. So I'm going to go over here and type in a particular URL, and imagine my application here was Bing.com, and if I go over to the availability report, this now takes me to the availability view, where I will see the result of this web test as it now got distributed to our configuration service in the Application Insight service, and it will be sent by default to the location that this particular test was created. Now this first initial run, it didn't ask me for locations, didn't ask me if I wanted an alert rule, it didn't bother me with any of those details, the frequency of the test. This is sort of what we call that first run, or how do we make it really easy to configure. Mm-hmm. If we look at this test, by selecting it here and choosing edit, I see a different the different set of settings that were selected here for me. It named the test, it has the URL that I've tested, it chose one out of the 16 locations that I have available here. If I wanted to choose other locations, I could add to those now to see what my site is doing from San Antonio versus other locations. I could choose success criteria here and actually choose the ability to alert the user if a particular location's failed. Now, you see how fast that test configuration got sent out. I already got my first data point, and it's probably been just under a minute, that came back as a green successful check mark, meaning the test successfully completed from that location. Mm-hmm. And gave me a
hopefully a our Bing is highly available.
That's
Bing
right.
Website.
That's right.
So it looks like those sites are pretty familiar there. So
yes.
Like I know Global Service Monitoring is a product, right, or a feature I guess that we have that's out there. Is that plugged in somehow here?
Yeah. So really the behind the scenes, this Application Insight service, the Global Service Monitor piece that you mentioned, is really participating right now in really three different scenarios. So today, if you're using System Center Operations Manager and you configure GSM test there, these are the same 16 locations that you see there. Mm-hmm. Similarly, if you were in the Azure portal, either the current Azure portal or the preview portal that got announced at Build, if you're creating tests there, those are the same GSM, same points of presence. Mm-hmm. Now in both Azure portals, we right now show 8 locations instead of 16. Those will be expanded over time. And in Visual Studio, you see all the same 16 that you saw in System Center Operations Manager.
Okay, so you've got here your first test, which obviously you can set up alerts for. You can match HTTP. You can do specific content matching within that in that specific test. What about anything that's a little more customized, right? Like I see here, you've got web tests up there. What does that look like?
Yeah. So web tests. These are Visual Studio web tests that can be created from Visual Studio. And if I just switch over to a Visual Studio project here, they're really easy to create. I can choose a new project here. I can choose under test to create a new web and performance test. And using the wizard to create a test, it's literally as easy as adding a recording, which brings up a particular page. Now again, I can go and test a website like Bing.com, and you see that it's captured all the different pages that were loaded, but just by loading this particular home page, all the different checks that were made. This is really testing at the wire level, so it's really looking at all the transaction happening from this recording. This can now be stopped, and it will open this back up in Visual Studio, detect dynamic parameters. In this case, there weren't any. And we can modify, change it, we can add parameters here. So a very common thing if you're running a test is how do you log into a particular page. You can add those parameters to the test. And then you save this test here in Visual Studio, and you have the ability to essentially upload this web test file over here.
Okay.
So if I click New, Multi-Step Web Test, I can browse to the file. It's going to take me a second to find where I put this file under 2013 projects.
Yeah. And I mean, I could see totally how, you know, the web test, although it is, you know, you are opening the Visual Studio console, in a DevOps scenario, you really are going to ideally and obviously work with your developer. But, you know, just having an awareness of how to create that, obviously it's not that hard. You know, having the ops and the dev person work together to know what's the best way to ensure that my app is really working, as opposed to that basic level ping or HTTP test in your environment.
Oh, right? Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And the goal here, really, what you're looking for is you're really looking to make sure that these tests are telling you when your site is down. So if you're in a case right now where you're learning about your site being down from your customers, or worse, from your management, or from someone other than your monitoring system, you want to track every one of those cases down and really make sure that you can capture all of those scenarios that your app is exposing into a test like this that can be repeated and automatically tell you about the problem. I'll tell you, we started using these web tests to test our own product, we dramatically reduced the amount of times that our customers found issues in our product before we realized, and it was definitely a great case. Cool. And sort of on the alert scenario, I can now choose out of the locations that I've selected. So if I choose a number of locations for this particular test, I can choose if three of those locations have to fail in the past 5 minutes. This also helps you with sort of that noise to signal ratio. If one test location fails, could have been just a temporary blip, but you know, if three or four or 16 out of 16 fail within some time period, bang, you know you've got a problem.
And I know, and I know too, right, for folks who have like a really, they want to have a highly available and see the latency across the world, right, having those multiple sites there can give them that baseline, right, for kind of where their, how their app is performing for a global audience, right? Especially if you're an IT guy and you're scaling your site up around the world, you know, having that check here would be really useful, right?
Sure. And here's the site, David, that I already have tests running. I have a set of tests running. I see the overall availability of it. You could tell that I wasn't doing very well. I was at 0% before last night. I fixed a few bugs, did a deployment. I immediately saw those tests start to succeed, and I had another little blip. I have the ability in all of these cases to sort of drill down into a particular point of time. Everything automatically updates. I can sort of see which test was failing, why it was failing. I had another blip this afternoon that actually I wasn't aware of, and I have the ability to again look at these particular tests, see why they're failing. So here I could choose this particular web test. I'm automatically already selected into this time period. All of these, I can drill into the particular test, see why they failed, and I can actually download that entire web result file, open it up in Visual Studio, and see what portion of my test failed.
Okay, this is awesome. So, all right, pretty quickly here, I mean, you can create a Visual Studio Online account for free, right? The App Insights just attaches right on there, right?
That's right.
And it's in preview right now, and then right away you can add an app. You've seen how you can add an app. Put in a URL, get basic ping test, HTTP content availability of your site without doing really anything, not even installing any agents or anything like that. And if you want to get more advanced, it looks like we can go in and create a web test to create more dynamic availability and performance testing right there, right?
That's right. And as soon as you're ready for the agent, you have the ability to install an agent to sort of get a view like this that gives you your response time, your average request rate, and what your slowest responses are, and actually lets you drill back to code.
So hopefully in another episode here of The Edge Show, we will dive more into the APM side of things. I know there's really a lot to show just within that APM side of the house as well, but for today, hopefully this will really get you going with DevOps scenarios and availability and monitoring with App Insights. So thanks so much, Vlad, for your time.
No problem. Thanks very much, David.
All right.
Thank you.
Alrighty, well, you saw there today a little bit of how you can get some availability monitoring performance for pretty much just really quick and easy for those folks in operations. You don't have to deploy System Center to going, which is kind of nice. But for those of you who have comments on that specific video, make sure you just comment below on this particular post related to that. If you have anything in general you'd like to interact with us on the Edge team, whether you want a specific type of video interview, you're welcome to tweet us at TNEdge.
Or send us an email at edge@microsoft.com.
Right, and so till next time, stay tuned.